Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have. Hello, everybody. This is Colonel Allen West, the old school patriot and the author of the book Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. We're looking at an Alamo moment in the United States of America. And if you want to take your stand on freedom ramparts, then you need to listen to Real Talk with Audrey Russo. And as Colonel William Barrett Travis said on that incredible day, February the 24th, 1836, is victory or death. And we can have victory if we listen to Audrey.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. President Ronald Reagan once said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." Have we arrived at the precipice of that extinction because we failed to hold the line? Well, we're going to discuss this with my next guest. Colonel Andrew O'Meara is a combat veteran awarded the Silver Star and a Purple Heart in the Vietnam War. His latest and well-researched book, Liberty Versus Tyranny, deals with the enduring struggle between our military leaders, sworn to defend our Constitution, and the political leaders in charge. Colonel O'Meara looks at the extraordinary role Yale University played in mobilizing opposition to the Vietnam War, and the roles academia has played in creating a genre of socialist elites buried within American society today. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome to Colonel Andrew O'Meara. Welcome, Andy. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to jump right in here because we're talking, of course, about your new book, Liberty Versus Tyranny. So, Andy, can you tell us what provoked you to write Liberty Versus Tyranny at this point in time?
I've been working on this book for many years. Many of my articles, my best articles I've brought together and put in this book. When I went to Vietnam the first time, President Kennedy asked for volunteers. I volunteered in 1962, and after spending some time in an infantry unit, I realized we didn't know how the enemy fought. We didn't understand his structure. And so I made up my mind I was going to study communist revolutionary warfare, wars of national liberation, as Mao calls them, and so that when I came back to fight in Vietnam for my second tour, I would be better prepared. And so I've been fighting communism all my life, really. And the articles I've written were written for my fellow officers and soldiers who soldiered with me to help them understand the enemy we were fighting.
Well, I know that this book, the listeners, when they read it, they will educate themselves where they haven't been educated in the school system when it comes to communism. So from your observation and research, do you see a momentum moving America towards socialism, or is this what we're seeing now? Is this just a blip on the radar?
No, this is a very serious threat. The Communist Party has been working for a century to gain control in the United States of America. In the 30s, they were very active, and in World War II, they infiltrated our government. As you know, they stole the secrets of the atomic bomb. They've been active in espionage, in propaganda, and in building a structure that would allow them one day to take control of our government and institute socialism or a communist state.
Sadly, they've been too successful when it came to infiltrating. It's almost winning without firing a shot in some ways. And sadly, they've also been patient with their work. But what do you see as the most significant event against this country since the Vietnam War?
The Vietnam War was a watershed period when the left, the Communist Party that was underground and the socialists supporting them, they were able to indoctrinate our youth and convince our youth to oppose the war in Vietnam and to really take control of the popular culture. The make love, not war,
right,
was a saying that was introduced by a communist professor by the name of Marcuse, who was instrumental in introducing what we call critical theory today. And
wow,
they have been very, very effective in taking control of many of our universities, the social sciences particularly.
Wow, I tell you, that this is all new to me. I had no idea, but I'm not surprised because, you know, their whole thing is subversion, and most of the time most people are fooled by it. But as you so aptly stated, the Pledge of Allegiance is our social contract with our fellow Americans to protect the Constitution in spiritual union with those who established our heritage, built our country, and gave their lives in defense of freedom. Do you see this in jeopardy right now in America?
Yes, I do. We have two cultures in this country right now. We have two nations, you could say. One nation under God that has the social contract that is articulated by the Pledge of Allegiance. The other group, I call it the progressive nation, worships socialism. They are atheists or secular humanists, as frequently called. And this group is in opposition to the Constitution, and they are fighting to take control of our country. Black Lives Matter and Antifa are two front groups that work to propagate the revolution and to win adherence to their cause.
Right. I'm glad you brought those up, because they are Marxist, which of course is communist. And communism, of course, as an ideology, is very anti-God. Do you think that they had a hand in getting God out of schools?
I wouldn't doubt it. I think the answer is yes. Clearly, that was their interest from the start, is to break down the moral structure and the heritage that made America very strong. And the attack on the family, which included the free love movement, the hippie group was an anti-tradition philosophy or bohemian group, and they are a reflection of this attack on the family that includes the attack on our religious faith.
Right, because in a way, it is communism is almost like a religious faith. And they obviously, even what you shared so far, and of course it's absolutely in the book, you could see their fingerprints on everything that has been done in this country, inside this country, to tear it apart. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's quite true. In Eastern Europe, when the Soviet Union controlled the satellite countries of Eastern Europe, they took over churches and made them into places of worship, took out all of the religious artifacts that reflected Judeo-Christian culture, and they were churches of atheism. It is truly a faith. And they, I went into one of these churches of atheism, and I had a chance to look at very, very depressing, and it inculcates the ideas that are a part of Marxism, and they worship, of course, their saints are Marx and Lenin and Mao.
Right, and what's tragic, too, is the influence they've had over the Democrat Party, and that you have many of those that will espouse, I mean, you have the young people like AOC who will espouse socialism as something that's good, and we all know that Vladimir Lenin said that the goal of socialism is communism, so aren't they really, I mean, these people basically are communists, aren't they?
They are part of a philosophy that is pro-socialist and pro-communist. We have two primary philosophies in the United States right now. Gertrude Himmelfarb wrote a wonderful book called The Roads to Modernization, and it describes the French Enlightenment that historians say is the beginning of modernity. And that the French Enlightenment and the ideas that came of the French Enlightenment were enhanced by Marx and led to the Bolshevik Revolution. So the French Enlightenment is a philosophy that leads to civil war and revolution. The French Revolution was a revolution of people who were serfs, the commoners in France, that destroyed the government, the monarchy, and killed the clergy and the nobility, and took control in a complete revolution that overturned the culture, the existing culture, and destroyed the church in France at that time.
Wow.
Now, their ideas were expanded by Marx to make the property was to be owned by the state. They claimed the worker would be the owner of all the state. In fact, it was the Communist Party that owned everything in the Soviet Union. So the Bolsheviks grew out of this French Enlightenment, and Gertrude Himmelfarb explained how the English Enlightenment and the American Enlightenment didn't lead to civil war and revolution. What it led to is parliamentary democracy and our Republican constitutional republic, and those societies protect God, the worship of God, and they also protect the ownership of property. So we have two enlightenments that Himmelfarb points out are also very powerful roads to modernity, but they do not lead to civil war, they don't lead to revolution, and they are not a product of the French Enlightenment. Now, the Democrats are profoundly wrapped up in the philosophy that came out of the French Enlightenment. They are following a philosophy that leads to civil war and revolution, and they have been for years. The Republican philosophy is the philosophy of Lincoln. It is a philosophy that's devoted to protection of the Constitution and preservation of the society that the Founding Fathers gave us.
Yes, yeah, that was an excellent explanation for the listeners. And as you so astutely stated in Liberty versus Tyranny, our founders provided First Amendment protections for the press to guard against tyranny. The founders expected the free press to report honestly and fairly without playing favorites or slanting the news. Now, it seems as though the free press that once stood guard over free speech and democracy in America has vanished overnight. Instead of safeguarding freedom, they use heavy-handed censorship to silence critics of the Marxist left. Do you believe today's media is worthy of the safeguards built into the Constitution for the protection of a free press?
Unfortunately, the liberal media has adopted the philosophy of the French Enlightenment. They have become progressives, and they share the philosophy of the Democratic Party. And so that they constitute a part of the communist movement or socialist movement in America today. And I would say that, in answer to your question, that they have violated the Constitution.
Yes.
Because they have not acted fairly and objectively in reporting, and in so doing, they have violated the concept of the free press as the founders understood it.
Yes, no, I couldn't agree more. And what do you think it will take to reverse this, concerning the press?
This is a great challenge to us. I think that the press is going to be greatly embarrassed,
yes,
humiliated, when the experiment fails. I fully expect the Democratic Party to come down in a great collapse because their goals don't lead to prosperity. Their goals lead to war, civil war, and socialism. Socialism makes society poor.
Yes.
Because everything, when everyone owns everything, nobody owns anything. And as the Soviets used to say, and jokingly, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. And the worker has no pride in his work when he has no ownership in it. And so what they wind up with is a society that's the worker is enslaved, the worker has no incentive to be productive, and the society collapses on itself and it becomes a failed state and a bankrupt economy in the end.
Exactly. And of course, we see before our very eyes, we can see Cuba, we can see North Korea, and of course, now we see it happening in Venezuela. So we have a real-time example right there of what you're saying. With constant vacillation from a left-wing to a right leaning administration and back, our foreign policy has been inconsistent and has sometimes led to catastrophic failures as a result. What do you see as a long-term solution to having a more effective and reliable foreign policy?
We need a popular consensus that unites our people. We need the people to adhere to and believe in American heritage, the American Constitution, and with that consensus, we can develop a foreign policy that'll be shared by both parties, so that the problem for us today is that when, let's say, the Republicans leave office and the Democrats come in, the Democrats want to trash everything the Republicans accomplished because they don't share a common philosophy. So we need that common philosophy and consensus to unite our people, and that way we can have long-range goals that are constructive and are not destructive policy.
Yes, exactly. If America doesn't lead the fight against the spread of socialism and communism, then who else can accomplish this?
I don't see anyone else that can do it. Right now, thought of the American Founding Fathers is the concept of the constitutional republic, and it nowhere else is it envisioned and built into the structure of the state the way it is in our country. So we have a very special gift. We have a special blessing, you might say, that is the work of the founders and their philosophy and the liberties that that society produced that allowed the free enterprise system to be very productive, very creative, and it led to the wealth that has been produced in the United States of America. But it's a very unique gift that the country has, and although in India and Canada and Australia, they have cultures that are built on the English Enlightenment, nowhere else have they had the exceptional productivity of the middle class and of entrepreneurs that our free economic system has produced.
Exactly. It reminds me of Alexis de Tocqueville, who once said that America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And he couldn't have been more spot on about that, because you're correct. We're still being blessed by the policies set in place by the founders. Still to this day, we're being blessed by it. And of course, we have those, and I'd say in the Democrat Party in particular, that are trying to rip that from our foundation, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. The socialist philosophy that leads to communism is a secular humanist philosophy. It is anti-God, and it is anti-family, and it seeks to destroy the heritage that provides a great strength to our people and allows us to honor our history and honor the Americans that were so productive and built this country.
Yes, yes, I couldn't agree more. Andy, where can the listeners follow your excellent work and purchase Liberty Versus Tyranny? Where can they do that?
It's for sale right now on Amazon, and it's also for sale at Barnes & Noble. And one day, we hope it'll be in the stores for them to purchase in their local community. But right now, you have to purchase it online.
Yes, no, I understand that. So listeners know very clearly that it's not always popular to have truth in bookstores. But as always, I will have these links for this in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links you need to follow the Colonel's work, plus purchase Liberty versus Tyranny. Thanks so much, Andy, for taking the time to share your brilliant book with us and your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
I'll be very happy to. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now. Hold on there for a second.